Welcome to the Heart of Christ Church, where we know God is good
all the time.
God is good. We also know that God has called us to love Him, love others, and go with the gospel. And on this day, we are doing just that because this is our day of remembrance. This is our celebration of Christ's resurrection. For all you folks out there on internet land, God bless you. We're so glad you're here with us today. And I pray that this message that I'm about to bring would bring a blessing unto your life in understanding who you are, whose you are, and how this salvation that we know is apportioned to us. Today I've entitled the sermon, if you remember last week, it was Jesus is King. Well, this week it is Jesus is King of Kings, capital letters, King of Kings. Because we need to understand, He is not just a king, but He is King over all and of all. And it is so amazing to me how this transpires. Because I want you to understand this principle today. If you don't get anything else, get this principle. A king is only as great as the victories he wins. Did you hear that? A king is only as great as the victories he wins. When a king loses, what does he lose? Everything. So he's only as great as his victories. And one of the most amazing things is understanding just what Christ won and how. On Good Friday, we know Jesus entered into Jerusalem. And he entered in his coronation as they laid palm branches and they shouted hallelujah. They shouted unto the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. That is what they said. And as they crucified him, Pilate wrote on top of the cross, he who was the governor of Rome, he who was the one who dictated from Rome to the Jewish people that this one was the King of the Jews. Please remember, it was written in three different languages so that everyone understood. And when the priests came, they didn't want it to say that. And Pilate said, "What I have written, I have written." In other words, all the authority of Rome was littened upon that sign. How is that important? We need to go all the way back to the book of Genesis. Now, I'm not going to have you turn just yet. We're going to. But I want you to remember this from the very fall. When Adam fell and God came into the garden and met Adam and Eve, what transpired? God had given Adam kingship over everything. Adam passed it down to Eve and said, "It was that woman you gave to me," blaming both God and Eve. The woman, being in a fallen nature now, she turned to God, and God said, "What have you done?" And she said unto him, "It's that serpent. He deceived me, and I ate." God looked at the serpent, and the serpent didn't say a word to him. Because the serpent wanted that authority. That's why he did what he did. Adam passed the authority to Eve. Eve passed the authority to Satan. And from that time until this day, Satan has kept that authority, except in one instance. And that's what we need to remember. Because you see, our God will not usurp anything unto man. We are the only creatures in all of creation that has a free will. We must interact with Him freely and willingly. If it is forced, if it is coerced, it does not count. It has to be done of choice. It has to be done of free will. We're the only creatures in all of creation who can do this. And the angels long to look into such things. So why is this important? What actually happened on that great and fateful day when all of this stuff took place? I want you to understand that when he was crowned by Rome on that Friday, he was given kingship. Jesus Christ was given kingship, spiritual, physical kingship over Israel, over the Jews. Because isn't that what it said? King of the Jews. Where do the Jews come from? The Jews come from Abraham. So we've got to think about what's going on here. You see, Satan allowed Jesus to become king of the Jews because he refused Satan when he was being tried and tested in the 40 days that he was out in the wilderness. Satan offered him all the kingdoms of the earth. And he said, no, no. 3 times he tested him, and he said, no. No, because he knew what was to come. But on that week, when it came time for this to happen, Satan thought it would be funny to mock God. Yeah, make him king of the Jews. So he allowed the authority over the Jews to be given unto Christ because he knew Jesus was going to the cross. He knew Jesus was going to die. And he thought he had him trapped. So you see, there's something going on here that is very important for us to remember. The authority that Adam had was given back to one specific group of people, the Jews. So why is that important for us? What does that have to do with us? Turn in your Bibles to the book of Genesis. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Genesis. From Genesis chapter 12, that's where we're going to begin. And then I'm going to go back and I'm going to read to you some other scriptures from this great and fateful day. But we need to understand what is coming first. Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. We are going to be in verses 2 and 3. That's where it begins, or that's where we're going to begin. Genesis chapter 12, verses 1, 2, and 3. I'm very sorry. It says, "Now the Lord said to Abraham, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great. And so you shall be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth will be blessed." Now that doesn't sound like much, does it? But one of the things we need to remember is God spoke one word and worlds were created. Here he spoke a whole lot of words. And what was he doing? Well, let's try and figure it out. Turn back to Matthew. And let us remember what happened on this great and fateful day. The 28th chapter, verses 1 through 8. And then we're going to jump from there to John, because this is just a partial record of what was going on that day. And John picks it up right where this lets off. And it says to us in the 28th chapter, first verse of the book of Matthew, "Now after the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to look at the grave. And behold, a severe earthquake had occurred, For an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled away the stone and sat upon it. And his appearance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. The guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who has been crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, just as he said. Come, see the place where he was lying. Go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead, and behold, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." And they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to report it to his disciples. Now turning to the book of John, please, to John in the 20th chapter. John in the 20th chapter, verses 1 through 20. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came early to the tomb while it was still dark and saw the stone already taken away from the tomb. So she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved and said, "They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." So Peter and the other disciple went forth, and they were going to the tomb. The two were running together, and the other disciple ran ahead faster than Peter and came to the tomb. And stopping and looking in, he saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. And so Simon Peter also came following him and entered the tomb, and he saw the linen wrappings lying there, and the face cloth which had been on his head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. So the other disciple who had first come to the tomb then also entered, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must raise again from the dead. So the disciples went away again to their own homes, but Mary was standing outside the tomb weeping. And so as she wept, she stooped and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and one at the feet where the body of Jesus had been lying. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there and did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." And she turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Stop clinging to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and my God and your God." And Mary Magdalene came, announcing to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he had, what he had said, these things to be, things to her. So when the evening on that day, the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." And when he had said this, he showed them both his hands and his side. The disciples then rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Can you imagine what it was like on that day? How afraid were these people? They literally locked themselves in that upper room for fear of the Jews. Not the Romans. For fear of the Jews. We're talking the religious leaders. And Jesus simply shows up in their midst in a room where the doors are shut and locked. What would you do right now if Jesus showed up in this room? I think we'd all believe a little bit more, wouldn't we? I think we'd all be kind of shocked, wouldn't we? My question is why? He is alive. He is risen. He is at the right hand of God the Father, waiting upon the day when the Lord shall say, "Go get your bride, my son," and he shall step out from heaven with the call of the archangel, with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will be raised, and we who are alive will be called up to meet them in the air. Oh, brothers and sisters, what a great and fateful day. But how does that all come out of what I've been leading you into? How does that come out of this one who was crowned king over the Jews and crucified? He was dead. Now we know he has been buried and resurrected. A king. A king is only as great as the victories he wins. Satan did not realize what he was doing when he gave the authority over the Jews to Jesus Christ. It did not matter to him because that was one people group. He had the rest of the world that was his. And he did not care about any of us, the Gentiles. Yeah, those Jews, that's fine. They want to be saved. The rest of the world is mine. We'll see how this goes. But what he did not understand, what he did not realize, was the covenant of God. The covenant of God is the covenant of promise. What do I mean by that? Remember the sins of Adam passed down through the blood, right? They passed down through the blood. How many of us are descendants of Adam? Every person here has got to raise their hand. Every one of us has got to raise our hands. How many of us are of the line of Abraham, the blood of Abraham? None that I know of. Now, some may be. There may be some Jewish lineage in your family. I don't know. But this I know. God has another purpose. Turn back to Genesis, dear brothers and sisters. Turn back to Genesis. Genesis chapter 15. Genesis chapter 15. I'm reading verses. Actually, I'm going to start in verse 1, Chuck. I'm sorry. I'm going to mess you up again. I'm going to start in verse 1 and read through verse 6. It says, after these things, from verse 1 in chapter 15, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision, saying, "Do not fear, Abraham. I am a shield to you. Your reward shall be very great." Abraham said, "O Lord God, what will you give me since I am childless, and the heir of my house is Eleazar of Damascus?" And Abraham said, "Since you have given no offspring to me, one born in my house is my heir." Then behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "This man will not be your heir, but one who will come forth from your own body, he shall be your heir." And he took him outside and said, "Now look toward the heavens and count the stars, if you are able to count them." And he said to them, "So shall your descendants be." Then he believed in the Lord, and he reckoned it to him as righteousness. We read elsewhere in the book of Genesis that Abraham had another son because he didn't wait long enough. How many of us are guilty of not waiting on the Lord long enough? We need to remember, how long did it take to send the Christ? How many of you are still waiting for the resurrection? Yeah, it hasn't happened yet. We're still here. So we are a people of delayed gratification. How long would it take to make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky? How many is that, by the way? If we're talking about just the Jewish people, that's not quite as many as the stars in the sky, is it? So there's got to be a greater number. Where does that greater number come from? How does it come? How does this all play into what you're talking about, Pastor Rich, turning your Bibles to the book of Galatians? I like leading you down these roads because this road is the road of salvation. It is the road of understanding that we are literally standing before the King of Kings. In the book of Galatians, turn in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. And we're reading from verse 6 through 14. And then we're going to jump to 26 through 29. Galatians 3, 6 through 14. From the 6th verse. Even so, Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Therefore, be sure that it is those who are of faith who are the sons of Abraham. The scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, all the nations will be blessed in you. So then those who are of faith are blessed with Abraham, the believer. For as many as of works of the law are under a curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law to perform them. Now that no one is justified by the law before God is evident, for the righteous man shall live by faith. However, the law is not of faith. On the contrary, he who practices them shall live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, in order that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we would receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And jumping to verse 26, for you are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free man. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants, heirs according to what? The promise. We need to understand, Abraham tried to have a physical son of his own. It wasn't the physical son that he was trying to have that was going to carry the promise. It was the son of promise. And that son of promise is Jesus Christ, who was to come decades, millennia later. But he came through the line, through the faith, through the believing faith of Jesus Christ. And Abraham believed, and God credited to him as righteousness. So you and I need to understand that when we believe by faith in Jesus Christ, we are adopted into a spiritual kingdom. Abraham was the leader of the Jews. All the Jews, from Abraham to present day, are under the headship of Jesus Christ. Many of them have rejected him. Remember, his is a spiritual kingdom. He said to Pilate, what? Yes, I am a king, but not of this realm. In other words, not of the delineage of what you determine. I am from a different place. It abides by different rules. And those rules are eternal rules, the eternal rules of God. Not the rules that Satan has placed over all of us here on earth, which is sin and cursedness. It is freedom and love and mercy through the salvation that Christ offers. A king is only as great as the victories he wins. Satan thought he had won the victory by killing the Christ because he was a human being. But you and I both know he was more than a human being. He was God in the flesh. And when he descended into hell, Satan realized just how much he had messed up. Because in that, when Christ entered into hell and Satan looked upon him and thought he had the victory, because remember, Satan had the keys of death and Hades. God could not enter into death and Hades in his divine nature, but through the Son and his physical nature and his death, his sacrificial death, Christ the Son was able to enter into Hades as one of us, as a living soul. Remember, the Holy Spirit was with him just as the Holy Spirit is with us. He had divested himself of all his glory. He had divested himself of all that power. Everything he did in the flesh, but by the power of the Spirit. But guess what happened on that great and fateful day? On that great and fateful day, when Jesus Christ entered into hell, cursed is anyone who hangeth upon a tree. He took that curse upon himself for us. That was our sin, hanging him on that tree. You see, a king has to go to war, and a king has to know that he's able to defeat the king that he's going against. And Jesus knew he was the king of heaven, he was the king of glory, but he had to have earthly power to save us. And it was so. How? Because when he was asked, are you a king? He didn't say no. He said, it is as you say. And Pilate made him king over the Jews. We now understand what that means. He was king over Abraham's descendants, the descendants of promise. Not the descendants of flesh, because the kingdom of God does not work on the descendants of flesh. It works on the descendants of promise, those who would believe, those who would choose. Everything God does is based on choice with us. Everything he does is based on choice with us. Every time you make a choice in this world, whether it be good or bad, it's going to have consequences. And you and I need to understand, Jesus Christ went into hell, he took a consequence. And when he went down there, he was ugly, he was dirty, he was filthy. For he had upon himself our scars. Can you imagine what he looked like when he went into hell? A crown upon his head, his body torn, bleeding. A spear stuck in his side, nail marks in his hands. What did he look like when he stood before Satan? And I'm sure Satan was gloating and thinking, I got you, I got you. And Jesus Christ, in spirit now, remember, when we are absent from the body, we return to spirit. It is all spirit. Who is the Spirit of God? God! So when he died, he came back into his glory. You and I need to understand what that means. He stood in hell, and he just started shaking it off. Can you imagine what that looked like? As our sin, ages past, ages present, how much sin was dumped into hell that day. And as he's shaking it off, the Shekinah glory of God, I can imagine it started in his eyes. Could you imagine this? Started in his eyes, and the piercing fire, the glory of God, starts to shine in hell. And then his face lit up, and it's coming off his shoulders and his hands, down his torso, into his legs, and the glory of God showed itself in the fullness before Satan, who had the keys. And he says unto him, you gave me the authority. Give me the keys. They're mine. And now I'm going back to the Father, because I am the King of the living and of the dead, because he who has descended is yet alive in heaven again and forevermore. Can I get an amen? We know that a king is only as great as the victories he wins, and Jesus Christ is risen from the grave. Hallelujah! He is alive. Sorry, I got a little loud there. Whew. Brothers, we have a choice. Everything we do is a choice. We either choose to accept the King of Kings. He deceived no one. In mocking, he was given the kingship over Abraham, the one who was given the covenant of promise that everyone who would believe would receive. What does John 3:16 say? For God so loved the world. Say it with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe in him shall not perish, but will have everlasting life. Brothers and sisters, He is King of Kings. This is His day. It's our day. It's time to shake off the sin and let the Shekinah glory of God shine into the darkness of this world. You know, I look up here and I see all the pretty flowers. Thank you, Miss Lisa, and ladies who helped her set it up. It's beautiful. Our lives should look this beautiful all the time to everyone that's looking at us. They should see the Shekinah glory of God, because the King of Kings, where does He reside? His throne room is right here. It's where He chooses to be in each and every one of you. He has chosen you unto life. You are the temple of the living God. Yes, He's in heaven, seated at the right hand of God the Father, but He's also seated right here through the power of the Holy Spirit. I'll guarantee you, I can't put all this stuff together, but I'm not God, and He already has. Do you believe it? That's all it takes. We believe. We believe. We believe in God the Father. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe in the resurrection. We believe. Choose you this day whom you shall believe. He who is salvation, or he who is death. The kingdom awaits all who will believe. Pray with me. Father God, this day we come before you. And Lord, right now, I know there are some here who are saying, Lord, I need that. I need you in my life. I need more of you. I need more of that faith the pastor's talking about. I need more of the King of Kings. And for those who are thinking that even now, Lord God, I pray that each would recite this little prayer, whether it be a reconciliation unto you, a rededication, or if they're coming to you for the very first time for salvation itself. May we speak these words unto you from the truth of our hearts. Father God, I am a sinner. I do not deserve life. But I choose Jesus Christ. I choose to believe that the King of Kings is alive and well. I choose Jesus Christ, that you have paid the price of my sins on the cross of Calvary, that you were raised from the dead, that you are seated at the right hand of God. I choose to believe. I choose to receive. And I choose to live again, to live anew, and to be alive to God. Wash over me now, O Lord, that the salvation of my soul may be in the palm of your hands, now and forever. In Christ Jesus. Amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.